to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner.
What are you doing, lady who's right next to me?
I know, I'm in the same room. I know you are. Poke. Those pokes got softer. It's like you got afraid to touch me for a minute. You're like, here's a poke, and then there's like a light
little
tap.
I didn't want to be so aggressive.
Whatever.
I love your arms.
Thanks, it's a nice arm.
I never
arm.
Get to touch them.
It's a gentle arm.
Weird intro.
So,
aside from touching each other.
I'm talking about black women in the court justice system.
Do it. Okay, yeah. Well, I can't wait for that. But I'm going to talk about how the 4th of July in the South used to be a black holiday.
Oh, for real?
Ooh, we're gonna talk about how they used to toot-a-loo, my little darling.
I'm about ready for that. Also, we're also talking about some Jurassic Parks, right?
I have some comments about Jurassic World, okay?
Okay, and then I get a little unhinged about Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, right? I think I feel like I might get a little unhinged from
Take
that.
The hinges off and let it fly.
Okay.
This is you.
Wow.
Do it.
Soulful ending.
Yeah, yeah, you know why? Because I got Anita Baker up in my spirit and soul.
Keep listening, get in the corner.
Weirdest intro ever.
Energy, energy.
Yeah, they're just bringing it to the mic. That's us.
Hey, everybody.
We're in the same room.
Oh, we are. Oh.
it's been a while since we recorded in the same room.
It's been a year.
It's been a year?
It was back here.
Right. No, I was in New York in July.
Oh, okay. So it has been shy of a year.
Okay.
Because it's July.
Yeah.
Now. Happy July.
Yay.
Hey, guys. You know, Eke, I gotta give you credit, girl.
What's that? What did I do?
You know, you, for as long as I've known you.
Yeah, which has been like 150 years.
I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but that sounds close. You've been like, oh, but you know what? You don't boast about it a lot, but you know. It's like when you know something's good, you don't have to go around advertising it.
What, like our friendship?
That.
Okay.
Which, it's amazing. So I don't need to advertise how great it is. But Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Oakland's amazing.
And like, you're just like, you're very casual about it. You don't feel like you need to put a banner about it. Because people in San Francisco be like, it's the best. It's amazing.
Well, do you know
fuck
why?
Everything else. Fuck everything. Because you don't want people coming here.
Exactly. Well, get the fuck out of my city. The rent's too high already.
You heard it here first.
I just saw a fucking thing. Well, first of all, San Francisco is the highest in the world rent-wise.
I thought it was Palo Alto.
No, San Francisco got them beat now. Number one. You know who number five is?
Oakland.
And Hong Kong. Same prices.
They're going to say Concord. I was like, damn, Concord.
Concord's up there too. Which is like, you're fooling yourselves.
And I just found out from my cousin, he lives in Redwood City, and he was paying like $3,000 for a one-bedroom apartment.
No.
You don't need to do that.
No, you don't.
There's nothing there. Well, I've been back for a while.
Yeah, you have. That's why we're so casual about just being like, in the same room. I've seen you.
Saw you at the pool party.
Saw you when we were traveling around.
Yeah. So, but what was I talking about? Pool party.
Redwood City, rent, Oakland being awesome.
So I was over in, San Francisco for like my first week here.
Yeah, yeah.
And this past week I've gotten just be in Oakland.
Yes.
And I'm currently back in a beautiful apartment that I used to live in.
I know, which is so bizarre.
Fourth floor, high rise, there's a pool. It's just fucking amazing.
Like, wraparound windows.
Like, there's windows for days.
Mm-hmm.
And really close to the 19th Street BART station.
Right there.
Be in San Francisco, hot skip and a jump.
It's like three stops away.
It's got me like, it's like a siren song is calling me back here. I was like this close to moving back here and just be like, I guess I'll just give up on my dreams and just, you know.
I mean, it'll do that. It'll make you crash your ship.
Because like, but I would have a nice life. I'd just, you know, work in tech and do stand up and do a podcast and write books. Not a bad life.
No, that's kind of what I'm living. Why are you downing my life?
I'm not.
Okay.
I just feel like I'm on this trajectory, you know. But it wouldn't be a bad, you know. I just, there's this other thing that's calling me to do something
else.
But
here's the thing. Oakland will always be here.
Will this apartment?
No. But Oakland will always be here.
Thanks for giving it to me straight. Thanks for giving it to me straight.
As you scoot the mic closer to you.
Because you're getting closer to it.
Because I'm excited.
You don't have to. It's okay. The sound technology will pick you up, my little dove.
All right, all right. right.
So Oakland's amazing. Don't move here because Aneke, she needs her space.
You could come and visit. Come and visit. Spend your money here.
And then go home.
Then go home.
To Richmond?
Sure. Yeah. Richmond is nice. Point Richmond is nice.
Richmond's getting expensive too.
San Francisco is a lovely place.
Oh, you're trying to push them back over
go
there.
Go to San Francisco.
I lived there for 6 years. It was amazing and magical.
People like it.
It is great. speaking of things that people like.
What do they like?
Or don't like.
Uh-oh.
See how I flipped that script?
I like that. Give me a 180. You're put like, where me are on we my going? Head. I don't even know.
Smack it up, flip it, and reverse it.
Is that BVD? Belle Biv DeVoe.
Who did flip it, reverse it?
Yeah.
That was Missy Elliott. You're flipping it
before
New
York. Yeah, but before that, I feel like.
Someone else was doing it. Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rub it, smack yeah! it, flip it down. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. The I girl's gonna do me.
Yes.
Do me, baby.
Teddy something.
Teddy Pendergrass.
No.
I thought I nailed it. I was like, ooh, am I saying the right things? Teddy D. That's my nephew.
Yeah, that is your nephew. I have a question, though, actually. What? Total sidetrack.
Okay.
Because since you said Teddy Pendergrass, it made me realize something. So yeah. At your birthday party,
yeah.
The person
shall... I had a poolside beat birthday party.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Person shall remain nameless.
Oh, okay. All right.
But we were talking about Anita Baker, and somebody came up to me and was like, I don't know who Anita Baker is. Mm. And then I was like, how do I describe Anita Baker?
Mm.
And I was like, your most black auntie music? And then I was like, you don't know that, though, either.
Yeah, yeah. She's like re-Toni Braxton.
Ooh, that's a good way of describing it. Okay, good.
It's like Toni Braxton, but even more deepful and soulful. Yes. So you're like, but what? How is that possible?
Because I was like, well, it's kind of like... And I was like wailing.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, so she sounds like a whale. No, yeah. She's pre-Toni.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Thanks. That makes me
And you know, my
better.
Mom told me this thing too, because, you know, I was talking to her because I was doing a musical workshop. Mm. And, you know, everyone's got their own voice. And I think so many times, like, you know, and this goes with in general, we kind of always look at other people and be like, oh, I don't do it like them, so I'm not good enough. But everyone's got their own singing voice.
Mm.
And so what happens is, like, you think that you're not singing it right because you never heard how your voice actually naturally sounds.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
But
that, like,
you got to be confident in your own
voice. In your own voice and shape how you sing it, sound it. You're not going to sound like Britney. You're going to sound
true.
Like you.
Exactly.
So people used to tell Anita Baker that she couldn't sing.
Rude.
Yeah. And she made albums.
She did. She just got honored at BET.
So take that, person who said that. Did you get honored at BET? Probably not.
No.
Unless it was Aretha Franklin.
I mean, she was at your party.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Aretha Franklin was Anita Baker. Be
Aretha
like, you
Franklin
can't sing.
Talks shit.
She's a monster.
She's a mean lady.
She's a monster. I'm going to say it. And you know, she's going to come after me. I know the Franklinites will come after me. I know
oh, that's
her.
I mean, sure, that
her,
works.
Her,
yeah.
Her Frankenlights.
The respect.
The respect brigade.
Yeah, which is like the opposite. Because they don't have respects.
They're going to come after me, but I said it. I am Team Patty. I am Team Patty.
I am Team Patty all the way, too.
Team Patty, where's my backup singers? I am there for
team
her.
Team Patty. She respects all the upcoming singers.
She does.
She
well,
respects...
now you're so far away.
I'm just all
you
over the
all
place.
Over.
You know what? I am
just,
in...
The mic's got to go where she goes.
I am
and Nikki's
in
the kitchen.
Room.
We got to get
you just
over there.
Deal with it.
Okay,
all
right.
But I just feel like she respects all the up-and-comers where, like, irony, Aretha Franklin doesn't give anybody respect.
She's like, it's just me.
It's me.
Stay in your lane. In
me
fact,
and my tiny purse.
Stay in your freeway. This is my freeway. You do your... This is me.
I'm about to get in my pink Cadillac and ride off into this freeway.
She's like... It's almost like Aretha Franklin for her. There can be no other singers.
Oh,
like, why
no.
are you... I'm the singer
yes,
of the world.
That's what it is.
Why are you... I'm already doing this.
She must have the
I'm
biggest
still
ego.
Here. And then when I die, I just play my tracks again.
Exactly.
So you don't, no one needs to sing ever again.
Speaking of re-releasing tracks, Drake released a song with Michael Jackson, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I've not heard it.
It's not bad.
Okay.
But it's weird.
Because like, it's like Michael's on there, and he's like,
oh. Yeah! It's a beautiful
it's like
Michael
there.
Jackson song.
Mm. Yeah, is he dancing in it?
It's a song.
Well, sometimes songs have
it's
visuals.
Not, it's not.
I'm sorry, you may have heard of Janelle Monáe's Emotion Picture. I'll catch you up with the kids are doing. Sometimes there's visuals to go with the music, Aneke. It's called a music video. Okay? Let me learn you.
There's no visuals released yet.
Okay, well, Drake, we're waiting for your visuals.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that what they call them? I'm gonna go to the visual channel.
I'm into that, actually. It feels
can
very
I get some
future.
Music visuals? Can I talk to you? I saw a film.
What cinema did you attend?
So, and I was going not because I wanted to see it, because this was on my airplane movie list. You know, the list, and you're like, I'll be on a plane one day and I'll watch it then.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going just to be with my cousins for the company.
Which is nice.
You know.
Family time.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It's back.
That is on my plane movie list too.
Time for, because you know,
one
of our first episodes, I think, it's coming full circle. I think our first episode, I talked about Jurassic World. And she was running around in her female lady pants
in the high heels.
Yeah.
Dallas Bryce Howard.
You know I can't say her name.
She's a Howard, so she's Hollywood royalty.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes, close enough.
Terrence is Dallas's Howard.
Sure. I don't know where you got Terrence from, but I'll let that one.
Dallas Terrence Howard Tower.
You just pulled that. You're just doing everybody now.
Howard.
You're like, I'm gonna incorporate somebody black as. I'm trying to shoehorn somebody black into
she
this.
She has a very confusing name.
It's no Bryce way. Dallas Howard.
Dallas Howard. I can't pronounce it. I get too excited or something. Terrence Howard's back.
Yes, all right.
And this time she's wearing shoes.
Good.
And they make a point to like
they
be
do?
Like,
oh my God.
Look at these boots she's in with heels.
Nah.
A little heeled boot.
Does
Spoiler.
It really have a heel?
It's got a little kitten heel.
Give her a flat for fuck's sake.
And like they're fancy boots that she's running in. But we're like, you know what? She's back.
Okay.
Here's the thing that I don't get. A little secret about me.
Yes.
One of the biggest reasons of why I've always wanted to be a film actor, an actor of the cinema.
Yes. A thespian.
It's because of Jurassic Park. I was like, when I was a kid, I was like, I want to be in a movie running away from dinosaurs. I would practice. I would be in my little apartment complex running from the dinosaurs.
I did not know this about
this
you.
This is like my acting training was through, I went to the school of Jurassic Park running from dinosaurs.
Wow. I feel like I've learned so much.
In fact, like I had this idea for a new Nintendo 64 Mario video game. I had a plot written out and I was writing a letter to Nintendo. Dear Mr. Nintendo. And I wrote this letter for the plot and
James.
I was going to mail it to them. And the only thing that I asked is like, I don't want any money.
Yeah.
I just want to appear in Jurassic Park 3. So that was like.
That is the most dated story I've ever heard in my life. If you ever go on a date with somebody under the age of 30, do not tell that story.
They're like, a Nintendo what?
I know. You wrote what?
A letter. Yeah.
Jurassic Park 3?
Yeah.
Like, don't...
Because I knew I wouldn't get into the sequel. They're already making it. So I was like, well...
Wise.
I was like, let's go for the third one.
Yes.
Just write me a little part in it. So this Jurassic World is near and dear to my heart.
Yes, all of our hearts. Any of us who's over 30, that shit is goldmine. While you were, pretending to run away, I was playing Jurassic Park theme music in my 6th grade band class. One of the first things I was proud of to play on the oboe was the Jurassic Park theme.
There it goes. We all kind of did our own artistry and connection to this park. This park was us.
Yes.
We are this park.
Exactly.
We were in that park together with Ellie. So, you know, and then like it's funny because like it's like the Jump the Shark and the Lost World. The Lost World's going good until they like bring them back to San Diego. Like, what is going on?
What's the one where the raptor says Alan? Alan.
Oh, that's in the third one.
Okay.
He's having
that's
a dream.
Terrible.
Yeah. That one's crazy. And then Jurassic World, you're like, okay, we're getting back to basics.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Getting back to like what we want is just people on an island running away from dinosaurs.
Yeah, Chris Pratt.
One became a Chris Pratt, like, it was literally Chris Pratt is James Bond. The movie's not about you, Chris Pratt.
Okay, I'm gonna say something.
Yeah, okay.
You okay with this?
Yeah.
This might be a revelation.
Okay, well.
I'm surprising myself that I feel that Chris Pratt is over.
Mm.
He's done.
Overdone.
He went the way of Jennifer Lawrence. We're sick of him.
Oh, like too much.
Too much.
We just got him in Infinity War, and then we got him here.
I know.
And then, like, I think they put too much stock into him. Of like, it's cute if he's running around, but Aneke, literally, the things that were happening. There's a fight sequence of just him fighting other humans. I'm like, but
who cares?
Where's the dinosaurs?
I don't even care about that.
There's like, it's just a lot of like, and I couldn't, like, for me, I'm like, it's really simple. You just put Jurassic Park movies, just people get on an island.
Yeah.
They're interesting characters. They have interesting, like, trajectories and storylines and things that they're trying to discover about themselves that end up happening on the island,
right? I like that.
And none of that. It was literally just like, it's Chris Pratt and he's doing things. And then they have a lot, like, the whole, it already is a lot of plot with, like, there's the volcano is exploding and to kill off the
dinosaurs.
And then
they're, like, coming back here. and there's a black market.
You didn't need to do all that.
I know.
You didn't need to do all that.
And then spoil it all in the commercials, too. Okay, Give us a surprise.
If you've seen the trailer, you've seen the whole movie.
What the fuck?
There was not a single surprise. I was like, oh, this is the part where she's going to be on the roof with the gun and save them. Or this is the part where they're going to do the auction. It was like literally, like, oh, this is the part where they're going to fall off the cliff into the water. If you've seen the trailer,
you know what?
Literally, there was nothing else new that was a surprise for me, except there was a, you know, like in the 90s, there was a lot of slow motion, like there's something's about to blow up.
Where it's like, doom.
And then they have to run away in slow motion.
Yeah.
Well, this time, the Velociraptor had that moment.
Oh.
Realized there was going to be an explosion and runs and jumps away. I was like, is this a cartoon?
I kind of.
There was a moment where Dinosaur was like pretending to sleep, as it was like, it was pretending to sleep, and then the tail would like go up and someone would look behind them like, what?
No.
And then it would like pretend to be sleeping again.
No, what is this, Scooby-Doo? Okay.
And there was a lot of Scooby-Doo moments where there's this girl like who was hiding behind these corners, being one step ahead of the villain guy.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of Scooby-Doo moments.
Okay, this is the only type of Jurassic Park that I want to see.
Yeah.
There's only two types of Jurassic Parks now. Either they kill it off, which is fine.
Yeah.
There's been too many. But if they want to keep going on with it because they want to make that money, they can either one, do it from the dinosaur's perspective.
Oh. Well, you see these like, humans running around.
Yes. Mm. And it's dinosaurs just trying to live their lives. Don't know why they're back.
They're like, what am I doing
What am I doing here? Yeah. Existential. I like that.
I like that.
Or two, they do a pre, where they show a bunch of scientists trying to create a dinosaur and fucking up. And then we get like Dr. Island of Moreau creepy bullshit.
Yeah.
And then like failed stuff. And then it opens. No, it ends.
With da-na-na-na-na.
With the helicopter coming in.
Coming in. I like that. I can already tell. I remember when I was in college.
Yes.
There was the abandoned Jurassic Park 4 plot, which was that they were going to start weaponizing dinosaurs.
Okay.
And here's the thing.
Okay.
When Jurassic World came around, I'm like, oh, good. We decided not to do that plot.
Mm-hmm.
But Fallen Kingdom has picked that plot back up. Because that's the whole entire idea of the military trying to buy dinosaurs. Because they're like, we've always used animals for fighting. And they're kind of trying to weaponize dinosaurs.
We have not. Oh, I mean, we have, but it hasn't been like front and center.
There's like literally a main quote and plot point. They're like, humans have always done this.
What, like War Horse? That boring ass movie?
Mm-hmm. This is literally Jurassic Park War Horse.
War Horse was literally one of the most boring movies I've ever seen in my life.
Look at this horse go to war.
Yes. And it was a play. And I can't even imagine people sitting through that boring play. They didn't even have a real horse. They had a man in a puppet suit.
No. See, you ain't the Lion King.
Clip clop, I'm in England. World War One, War Horse.
Boring. Do you want to know the other plot that was abandoned from the fourth one?
Yeah, what is it?
Where they start then creating dinosaur-human hybrids.
That's not bad.
Well, it might be back for the next one. So, So, Fallen Kingdom, falling out of my heart.
Is it How a did C you fuck or it a D?
Oh, and a D, easy.
Okay.
And then there's the black kid from The Get Up, The Get On Up.
Yes, he's Afro. In
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's dope. And then, like, but here's the thing. He's literally, it's like we took a step backwards.
Remember
the 90s, there's always just that, like, screaming buffoon of a black side character?
Yes.
That's him.
That's
and he gets no development. He gets no, like, there's so many plot points where, like, none of this needed to happen.
Okay, that's dumb. That's, that, who wrote that movie?
Yeah, I
Lazy.
Don't know. And I do appreciate, like, you're gonna, there's Asian American actress who's she's in it. And, like, there's the thing, you're gonna start seeing, is China is funding a lot of our movies.
Oh, yeah.
So you're gonna start seeing a lot of rise of Asian American actors.
Which is good.
Films, which is great. Here's the thing, though, that makes me a little nervous.
Okay.
It's now we can't, you can't be critical about China in any of your movies.
Oh.
Case in point, Doctor Strange
supposed
to go to Tibet.
But went to China.
He went to a magical place.
Oh, that's
place.
Right, because Tibet and China have issues.
So I get a little nerve-wracked anytime there's sort of a censorship that's happening. That's just in a magical, like, sort of like a sort of a thing.
Well,
so that makes me a little nervous.
I see that, I don't think that Asian American and, like, I feel like there's been an increase in Chinese actors in movies.
Yeah.
But Asian American need more representation too. Though,
absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. Well, and I think because these movies need to do well in China. So like in Jurassic Park, like I think that had, I don't know that character would have been cast as like even an Asian American actor because they want to make sure, and I get it. They want to make sure like they're funding these movies.
Right.
That it's going to do well back in China as well.
Yeah.
I just get a little hesitant when if you can't be like, and not even being critical, like it, they just shut Tibet out of Doctor Strange. Strange.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Doctor Strange thing is something that we need to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, the Tilda Swinton character should have been cast as an Asian person. But yeah, I do like the Benedict Wong playing a librarian. But there, I could see definitely the Chinese influence market of movies in movies such as,
Pacific Rim.
Yeah, Pacific Rim. But then there's also ones where I'm trying to, like, Iron Man 3, there's a whole plot where they went to China, and there was, like...
I think that was the first movie that was being funded by this new production company from China.
And Interstellar, and I don't mind that.
Oh, I'm all
for
it.
And I think it's great, but I do... And I think the same thing happens with America, too, because we don't get a lot of criticism in our shit, which we should.
Right, yeah. I mean, in Hollywood, I think that, like, films, like, some are, like, more independent films or even, like, TV shows will be able to be a little more critical. And just keeping that watchful eye out of, like, it makes me... I'm just keeping an eye out because, you know, I just saw that movie about the show Soft Power that was all about sort of propaganda and how that's used.
So you're more aware, which is good. That means that play did its purpose.
Yeah. Well, and John Oliver was also talking about China as having they're re-navigating trade routes throughout Europe and stuff, which, listen, anyone who wants to become the new superpower, go for it.
I mean, clearly we're fucking up right now.
I just get nervous that when now the Human Rights Commission doesn't they're not doing what they used to do because everyone's so in bed with China that they're not fighting for human rights the way that they used to because money just talks.
Mm. So. Well, I'm happy that they cast an Asian American actress.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no fight about that.
I know, exactly.
Same page.
I know. James brought up this awesome documentary.
I wanted to play it for you.
On air.
But I thought that would be weird.
Because we did end up just watching it in silence.
We did. It's a very... So PBS is doing a documentary.
Yes.
Called Who's Streets?
Yes.
It's about Ferguson.
Yes, which is amazing. It looks amazing.
I thought it was so interesting. I wanted to bring it up because we actually just passed. We're going into our fourth year. We, 3 years ago started our, right?
Oh, us. We did. Oh my God.
Yeah. So we're going into our fourth year. We've been doing the podcast for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I really accredit the Ferguson.
You meant the administration and I got really excited.
You did. I was like, where did she go? Where is she? I was like, am I not doing math correctly? I really credit that moment. Like, Ferguson was a life-changing, moment for myself.
Yes.
I remember calling you just, crying because the world I thought I was living in, I was not living in.
Mm.
And it's what also that Ferguson moment, I mean, that's what helped birth Minority Corner.
Yeah.
That and a pool.
Yeah, and we're now at the same location of the pool.
Of where we were hatched this idea.
I know.
By that pool. So it's just a full circle. So that is so interesting that seeing that trailer, I think that's coming out on PBS July 30th. It's PBS, so you know they're not fucking around.
They are not. It is a POV PBS. They're going to keep it real. It's, and not only did Ferguson birth Minority Corner, inappropriate, but still, it birthed the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I mean, it was building up steam before that, but I would say that would be the main explosion.
That's I think history will be like, that's the pinnacle moment, which makes sense of why they're doing the documentary about Ferguson, because that was the, epicenter.
Right.
Yeah.
Which were the riots, protests. I'm not going to say
protests,
riots.
Yeah.
Because the police with riot gear.
Yeah, and that's interesting. There's a quote in the documentary, this woman who was like, we were trying to mourn.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a candlelight vigil, and these police showed up in riot gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's creating a lot of tension and energy. And also, you have to remember, these people, think about when you've lost someone, you're raw. Your emotions are in not the right space.
Right.
People are in a very raw sort of space, so to come up, how upsetting and triggering is that? Just created a lot of mess.
And I just wanted to bring up that the protest in Ferguson came about of the shooting of Michael Brown.
Yes.
Because I want to just acknowledge Michael Brown too, since it was literally a community mourning and an act that happens all the time where you just get so fed up, where black men have been gunned down by police at such a high regular basis for nothing that this really exploded the community and it really affected all us black people because it's something that you see over and over and over and over again until finally you just can't do anything but mourn in the streets.
Yeah.
And then to be treated as if it were a riot. To be treated as if we were doing something wrong.
Right.
To be treated as black people acknowledging pain is a type of violence when it isn't.
Mm.
And that's why I get so upset with the Blue Lives Matter movement. Because the Blue Lives Matter movement did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
People care about cops. We do. do. We're told to, the cops are supposed to protect us, and the reason that the Black Lives Matter came out is because cops aren't protecting us. They aren't doing their job. Mm-hmm. And so anybody with that fucking sticker on their car, you're a racist. And I'm sorry.
Nope. That's what apologize. It is. I am retracting your apology. Minority Corner does not apologize for that statement and full support of that.
Yeah, because it's like, it is a straight up argument against Black people existing.
Yeah.
It's an argument against Black people not being able to mourn, not being able to acknowledge that something is wrong. That's what the taking of a knee is for the flag for the NFL, is because we're acknowledging something isn't working, something is wrong, we are dying, which we need to fix.
Yeah.
The HR department of this country is fucked up, and it's not listening to a whole chunk of its population, and the people who are protecting that can go to hell. And it really pisses me off. It angers me. Yeah. Because either you're racist or you're stupid in order to think that putting a Blue Lives Matter sticker on your car is somehow a peaceful statement.
Right.
Sorry, I just got really
no,
upset.
No, that was great.
Because it's just
here.
Because this, I love that you had me showed this to me, James, because it's like, you see the frustration in the people on the street. You see the frustration in people of a community that have been beaten down and who aren't being listened to and who are being attacked.
Yeah. Like, and seeing their story directly too, there's just like footage that I never saw that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like collected footage from people who were there on the streets, and like you didn't really see that on, you know, CNN or something. You know, it was such a bird's eye sort of perspective and biased perspective too.
Right.
Which I always thought I was fascinated, because like I've always known that the news was biased, but I would never have said, like, you know, it's so funny that the administration is able to turn what we used to use against us in the sense that like fake news, you know, it's like, no, the news is biased and it's been biased against us.
Yeah. Forever.
And then you're taking it and saying like, it boggles my mind.
That's why I'm a librarian, because I feel like you should never take any type of news for granted because everybody has a point of view and it's always going to leak through.
Yeah.
It's stupid just to say fake. No, it's news to somebody.
Yeah.
It may not be correct.
It may not be correct, yeah.
But it's news to somebody.
Do your due diligence and take into it.
Yeah.
I feel like we should jump into your corner.
Okay.
I feel like we've gotten you hot and ready.
My corner is a great response to this.
That's what I was thinking. So, but definitely keep an eye out for that PBS documentary. It's from the same people that did I Am Not Your Negro, which I still have not seen.
Oh, it's excellent. You should watch it, James.
Okay, I'm going to watch it and we'll talk about it.
Yes.
Okay. I got homework.
Fun homework.
Oh, and it comes out July 30th.
Yes, watch
it. Got too excited.
You know, I think you said it earlier, but it's good to repeat.
Back, coming at ya, Cleopatra.
The Greatest Generation is the most popular Star Trek podcast in the world.
A pretty dubious distinction, but it's true. We've blasted through all of Star Trek The Next Generation, and now we are blasting through Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Come find out why millions of people have listened to our show and the Star Trek industrial complex ignores it.
Go to MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts and look for The Greatest Generation.
In it to win it.
I'm in it. Okay, so I got heated up last time, James.
Okay.
About Blue Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, and how the system is broken.
Yeah.
But you know one way to fix it?
How can we fix it?
If we employ Black women?
That makes sense. I feel like, honestly, that's the answer to most things in this world. How can we fix this thing?
Hire Black woman.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You know, too, it's funny. I'm going to put something there. Ugh. Put something on blast.
Yeah.
So, I know.
Here we go.
Okay. I just, you know.
Safe space.
Okay. And we can edit this out if we decide it should be going.
I know. You got your position. I feel like something heavy's coming at me.
I just get so, you know, I just heard this too. People tend to, and I get it, they tend to hire people that remind them of like themselves.
Okay. Yes.
And so it just bewilders me that there's a certain place of work that I happen to revisit.
Oh, yes.
There. And I like literally was like, I'm like, that girl you hired looks exactly like you and sounds just like you. And I'm just like, you guys, branch out.
I know.
Branch out.
That's a problem.
I'm surprised like that there's not a lot of Black women in the tech industry that we still haven't gotten that.
Because people can't fucking hire outside of themselves.
And it's not like, are you telling me that there's no Black women that could work in these
fields?
There's
a ton.
And like, there's also many different facets of any tech company. There's the marketing department.
Yes.
There's the engineering. There's people operations.
Yes.
There's operations. There's all like sales, there's all kinds of stuff. There's customer service, I guess, and just surprise when I go to office spaces and they're still predominantly white. And then there'll be like, you know, some maybe like Southeast Asian people there.
That's the tech community.
Asian folks, but like Black and Latino people seem to be still missing.
Out of the picture.
I don't know that. Yeah. Sorry to do a little tangent.
No, I'm glad you said that really because we're about to talk about this place. This magical place called South Fulton in Atlanta. It's an Atlanta suburb.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me pack my bags.
And it is one of Georgia's newest cities.
Okay.
So it was like newly created, right?
It's a new ass city.
And guess what?
What?
This city has the distinction of being the first city in the nation to have its criminal justice system led entirely by Black women.
Damn. And what were those effects?
A lot. I'll get to
that. Oh my gosh.
I will get to
that. I'm so curious as like what that process was of like how that even like came
They said
about.
It happened naturally.
Just organically.
Yeah. Mm. It wasn't like one of them like, oh, we're hiring only Black women.
Right.
Like we're not doing it on purpose. But so first I gotta shout these women out. So the Chief Justice, her name is Tiffany Carter Sellers. Okay. The interim police chief is Sheila Rogers. The solicitor, I don't know what that is, but
Solicitor General?
I guess so. What is that?
Okay, they, why are you laughing?
Because you're like, let me tell you.
Okay, okay. So a solicitor general, they like solicit, you know, sometimes it's like solicit affairs, or sometimes they're just like the general of soliciting.
And then there'll be a sign,
and it's like, no soliciting.
You don't know what it is.
And the general's like, do you see my badge? I am the solicitor general. And they're like, no soliciting here. So they get to decide who gets to solicit when and where. So that's what she does.
Sure. So.
I feel like I could be getting it wrong. But it could be that.
Well, the solicitor is LaDawn Jones.
It could be
LBJ, as she goes by.
Ooh, you better get it.
The public defender is Vivica Fambers Powell. Court administrator is Lakeisha Coyfield. The chief court clerk is Ramona Howard. The court clerk is Tiffany Kinslow, and another court clerk is Carrie Stevens.
Look at these ladies.
Black women.
I kind of want
to. Black women.
You know I love TV, so I'm just like, Shonda, write this.
This needs to be written down.
Yeah.
Okay, so South Fulton, Georgia, which is a new city, is also Georgia's fifth largest city now.
Oh, damn, okay.
And the population is almost 90% Black.
Yeah.
So it is a Black-ass town, which is good because you want
the people representing, the people who are governing the people. Of who's representing it. You wouldn't want just like, because then that's like apartheid. If it's like 90% Black and like
all
white.
And then the criminal justice system is white, yeah. Then it's like, come on. So this is good. So the city of South Fulton was incorporated in May 2017, so super new. Just a year and some change. Yeah. And they soon, after that, put together the municipal court system. By January 2018, super recent, the court system was up and running. So this is fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh out the box.
Yeah.
All the women are first hires in those positions.
Yeah.
They weren't hired because they were Black. So Sellers, who just as a reminder is the chief judge, so Tiffany Carter Sellers said that their experience and expertise in law enforcement and the court, and also in many cases, tied them to the community, which is why they were hired. Mm. And many of them grew up in the area.
Great. Don't you want people who are from the area to like be representing the area?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's the best. I mean, right now in...
For mayor of Oakland, just saying.
No, I don't know. That's a lot of work.
We'll see. We'll see.
Give me some time.
Okay.
So, just as a... I believe it's Stockton.
Okay.
Stockton,
California?
Has one of the youngest mayors.
Oh.
Don't quote me on this because.
Get those quotes out of there.
I know. I really just want to make sure.
Put your quotes down, ladies and gentlemen. We're not.
Yes.
Okay, now you can quote.
So
her.
Stockton, his name is Michael Tubbs. He's like 28.
Damn.
He grew up in Stockton. That's why he loves it.
Yeah.
Oprah has only endorsed three people.
Obama,
Cory Booker's. And Michael's Tubbs.
Damn.
Yeah.
He's
amazing. And his wife is like, she's doing her own shit where she's like, I think she studies at Oxford or something.
Okay.
He's Black. He was elected in 2016 at 26. But the reason I'm bringing him up is because he's from Stockton. So therefore he's invested in the community and he's going to do it better. So these women are invested in South Fulton. and they want the best for it. And the community is already like super excited about it.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a guy with a traffic ticket and he brought his daughter to the court because he wanted his daughter to see women running the court.
I love that. Like, he's going there for like an unpleasant thing, but he's like, you know what? I want to see, this is how government runs. Being proud of his government. He's like, you know what? Yeah, I got this ticket. I fucked it up.
But let me fucking show my daughter how it's done.
How it's done. That's, there it is.
It's like, we need to show kids this.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I say all kids, because little white boys need to see that, yes, if you go up to a black judge, she's going, yes, she's a legit judge.
She's a legit, yeah.
So, okay, so the women say that being both black and female mean that they see things a little bit different. Being black means that they have empathy for many of the defenders who end up in police custody or appear in the courtroom, and they understand the fears that the criminal justice will be biased against them because of their color. Mm. So they already have the nuanced opinion of, you know, what these defendants are going through.
Yeah.
So here's how, to answer your previous question, things are done a little bit differently in this court system.
Oh, how they do it.
Kong Kong. That's my Law and Order.
Ooh, yeah. Order in the court. Judge Neke.
Okay, so the municipal court has a pre-trial diversion program, which is called Second Chance South Fulton, which looks at people's records to see if they can be diverted from the criminal justice system and instead given resources such as counseling to keep them out of further trouble. Sellers, who was a trial attorney for over a decade, says she's never seen a pre-trial diversion program at the municipal court level as strong as the one in South. This is crucial, and this is a radical idea that has been actually proposed across the country and not actually picked up that much. Mm. If you do a pre-trial diversion program, it nearly cuts in half the people that go to jail.
Yeah.
So if you are, let's say you're down on your luck or whatever, and you had to steal something, diapers for your kids, the first time you ever got that conviction, they will look at your record, say, okay, you don't normally do this. What's going on? And then they will either give you counseling. I'm sure you'll have to do a little bit of retribution.
Sure, like some community service or something.
But they will say, oh, so you need money and you need childcare, let's get you into programs on how to figure that out. So it's fixing the person instead of having them pay for the crime.
It's so weird how like that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And also how revolutionary it is that, like, it's like, oh, it reminds me of like what we're supposed to be, is like a tribe, a community.
Yeah.
Helping each other out. That's such a, I can't believe that that's not been done even more. And also too, I was thinking that this will help, like, public defenders are so overworked.
Yes.
And so this will allow public defenders more, because they're not going to get as many
cases. So many cases.
And then they can really focus their energy and efforts towards the cases that really, really do need to go to trial, and they can actually, you know, not be so overworked.
Exactly.
And our tax dollars we better use too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's so true. It makes so much more sense, and a lot of the programs that are already existing will then get more participants involved in and therefore more funding for them.
Yeah.
Don't all the lawyers that are listening right now, I just made up that example.
Oh.
So don't quote me on that example, but I just thought that might be a good way to explain what a pre-trial.
It worked for me because I was confused. I was like, but what? You Blues Clues'd it for me.
That's what I imagine it to be. It's something where it's like, instead of just convicting the person, you figure out ways to figure it out. Okay, so under state law, defendants don't need to have an attorney present when they first go to the judge. In South Fulton, however, every defendant is given a public defender for their first appearance. The law doesn't require that you get a lawyer for that. I think that's kind of silly, says Seller. I think that we can do better, so we do. So they literally, even though we were just saying that public defenders are overworked, I'm sure the pretrial diversion helps limit that, but also every person who goes to court will get representation instead of not having any representation.
So it's great. Like, I don't know what to do. I'd be like,
I don't know.
Order, I object.
Yeah.
I plead the fifth.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Okay, so the city places extra emphasis on educating citizens about the law. I think that we should be educating people that if you are driving with a suspended tag, your license will be suspended for 6 months if you are found guilty, Sellers said. People don't know that, but it's a reality that happens every day. I'm very big on making sure that people really understand the law, understand the consequences of bad decisions. I think it's part of the woman thing that we do, where we nurture, seek life-changing, life-altering results. And that's also Sellers saying that again. It's very much putting a human into the system, which is one of the reasons why I really wanted to bring it up. It's just really exciting to see what diversity does to a system. And this is an extreme example. I mean, so many Black women are there. Yeah. That's rare. But it also just documents why incorporating two, three, notice how I'm not saying one, because tokenism is a problem.
Because that doesn't work, because then, like, well, when you're the token, you're having to be the representation for it. It's also kind of going to be harder for you to be able to, you have to then work twice as hard to get half as much to be able to see people who will see you as equal and not just like the Black woman on the team.
Exactly.
When the team is still all a bunch of white people.
Yeah. I recently was listening to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, Revisionist History. Mm-hmm. I highly suggest it. He recently did an episode on Sammy Davis Jr. And basically why Sammy Davis Jr. seemed like a sellout in the 70s. And that's a whole nother point that I won't go into, but Malcolm Gladwell goes into tokenism and how when you are the only, you basically have to like concede to the majority. Yeah. You have to laugh at yourself almost. You have to, in order for them to not get pushed out.
Sure.
What is it?
Extra communicated?
No.
Extroverted.
It's close to that.
Excommunicated.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, you're exiled.
Yes. So, that was
Jeopardy trivia. There were even like gestures that were given.
Just like an arm. It wasn't very good. No, it was just like a push out.
It was giving it to me. They're being pushed away. I can see it.
Yeah, so like when it's only you, there is a study of women in the workplace. And when it's only one woman, they have to laugh at all the sexist jokes. Right. They have to be a part of all of that. But when there's three or more women, they can relax.
They can be like, mm-mm.
Yeah. And then they get to, I don't have to be friends with the only woman here.
Yeah.
I can say, I don't like that woman because we have different personalities.
but I like this woman over here.
Totally. We have different ways to be about ourselves. Yeah. We aren't the representation like you were saying.
Yeah.
So when you have a diverse office, if you hire like three Black women, three gay people, people with disabilities. Just, it gives the variety of opinion to the majority, to people saying, all Black women aren't sassy like that. Some are, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, all people with disabilities aren't blind, you know?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's variety.
And it also gives something, too, I thought was really nice, is like, you have to remember, all these women are bringing their life experiences, so they're seeing the world in a different light. So also on that team, if you're bringing that variety of like these, the many different Black women or the many different people with like a different disability, they see the world in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're able to advocate for that, where it's like, I wouldn't necessarily have as much forethought to advocate for someone with disabilities. Why there would need to be people on the team to be able to advocate for that. So to come up with different ways of thinking, like we've talked about this before, everyone just benefits from the diversity of things. These women are coming from it, like they're bringing their life perspectives into their work and being able to make a system that benefits everybody.
Yes. And the thing is, like, when people are like, I feel uncomfortable hiring this many people, well then why are you in your comfort zone with the only group of people around you? Like, how do you think it feels?
Yeah.
Like, there have been many circumstances where I've been with friends, I'll say it, where we've been in situations where it's majority Black and they'll say, I feel uncomfortable. And I'll be like, how do you think I feel 100% of the time? I don't feel uncomfortable, but I've had to learn to work my way into a community of only white people.
Yep.
So it's like, get out of your fucking bubble. And I feel like that's the problem with America right now. I'm heated today.
Yeah, I'm loving
it. I'm heated.
Get out of your bubble, America.
White people need to get uncomfortable. Stop it.
Well, you know, I've been living by this quote. Yeah, and I think too, since I think it's a generational thing that's also happening too, get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We're getting too in our little protected little safe bubbles and stuff. Pop.
Pop it.
Pop that bubble.
It's true. I've been watching The Bachelorette.
Pop it.
Well,
okay.
And there's one guy on there who just got eliminated.
Oh, Black guy?
White guy.
Okay.
With just a douche.
Okay.
And he was like the picture of toxic masculinity.
Ooh.
And it was because he was uncomfortable. The Bachelorette wouldn't come and talk to him. I want to go home. Mm-hmm. He, like, you know, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
If his needs weren't catered to, then there was a bigger problem.
Mm.
And I think that really puts the finger on the pulse of what's wrong with this country, is that the people running it, one, aren't have a diverse outlook enough to see outside of their own space.
Yeah.
And two, they don't understand that their comfort is bringing discomfort to everybody else, and they don't give a fuck. And I hate that. I hate it. Just gets me so mad.
Well, I think also too, something, I don't want to diverge too much from what you're talking about, but
I'm all over the place. Okay. So where are
we? Well, it's just, you just open up the floodgates.
Yeah, I know.
Happy birthday, America. We're having a family meeting. We're doing, America.
Sit you down on this couch.
We are looking at this. And what you said was something that, like, he didn't know how to deal with being uncomfortable. And I think that's something that's really, when you talk about toxic masculinity, there's not a place for men don't know how to deal with their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what those feelings are. They don't know how to sit with those feelings. A cousin of mine just joined like a men's group, and they meet like almost every other week, and it's been so revolutionary for him.
It's good.
Because we don't have a practice in this culture of, especially American culture, of there's no rite of passage for men. And so that gets sort of, so it just gets boggled down inside. Oh, my cousin brought this up. You talked about Jogger Joe.
Yeah.
Recently.
That guy,
Jogger Joe. He's the guy who disrupted. There was a homeless guy
who was
around Lake Merritt.
Yeah, and he's been a mainstay at Lake Merritt, so he lived there, and everybody just kind of knew.
And Jogger Joe just like threw his stuff
in the lake and in the garbage,
and not like giving the guy an excuse, but it's possible too that like adding on to what was also going on there is that like he was triggered by something that had nothing really to do with Jogger Joe,
for sure.
That he has this. He's never understood how to deal with his uncomfortableness, his anger or anything, and it just snapped in that single moment. And
that's,
I think you see that a lot of this times, like with these mass shooters, these people who we're not talking about, we're not giving men space to deal with the full complexity of what it means to be a man.
I completely agree. Because when you get told, and it's true, there were studies that little boys feel faster than little girls.
Oh.
Seconds. Like, I mean, it's milliseconds, but they track the eyes of men and little boys and all of that, and it registers faster. And I mean, if you think about it, women have to have a baby explode out of their body, so they have to be a little, like, it's kind of got to be kind of cold.
Yeah, you gotta be so a little, it's little like, I know. That. Like, you know what, I'm not that's gonna like, feel I know. That too much,
I know,
okay?
Which is like,
this thing's coming out of me. God, it makes sense.
These opinions purely of our podcast, so don't whatever. But because of this patriarchy and the toxic masculinity, we tell boys to suck up their feelings from the very start. And if you tell men to suck it up all the time and not show it, it's going to build. And just like what everybody says, it's the cheesy thing that you learn in every diversity thing, is if you keep blowing into a balloon, it's going to pop at some point. So when you don't give that outlet to men. Whereas women, it's okay to cry. It's a thing. But at the same time, it's also seen as a negative.
Right.
Which is problematic to be like, oh, you're being a girl. Well, fuck you. What's wrong with being a girl? Like, we should all be crying.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be these horrible, violent eruptions.
Yeah.
And the reason that there was all of that protection of the feelings for men is because we were in a constant state of war. We were constantly sending our young men off to fight. And it was good at that point to prepare young men to suck up your feelings, because you're going to be around a lot of death and killing and horrible shit for higher powers of rich people who don't do that. But still, which is like why football came about, because there wasn't any war. So men feel like they had to do that. So we are now going into generations where war isn't going to be around as much. It isn't going to be happening because let's hope, fingers crossed, you know, knock on wood.
It's more so push button technology anyways.
It is, which is terrifying with bombs and stuff.
Yeah. But what you're saying is that tension isn't being worked out.
Exactly.
That aggression, the feeling, the feelings, the emotions, and there's no place for that to go, and it needs to go somewhere.
If we're going to be a more evolved society, we need to learn how to be evolved with our emotions and how we treat it.
Truth.
And also to be more diverse with our perspective.
Yeah.
So viewpoints. Hire more people.
Yes.
Hire different people. If that person doesn't look like you,
hire them.
Hire them. Unless you're a black woman and you work in a predominantly white place.
Yeah.
Hire the person that looks like you.
Hire your sister.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. You know what? You need that
now.
You need to get her on board.
Even if you don't like her.
You know what? Hire her.
Yeah. Well, she has to have good work ethic.
I mean, like, she better be, it should be good. But you know what? You can give her a chance anyway.
Exactly.
Give her that leg up.
Two, let men and boys cry.
Yeah. Let me. I'm going to do it right now.
It's okay. You can do this. Let it out. This is the weirdest cry ever, but you know it. I'm glad you're doing it.
I'm Belle Bell.
You feel better?
Yeah, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, good. That's McCray the Corner. Why are you clapping?
I want to clap for you. It was good.
In a world dominated by dude bro movie podcasts. A world where Casey Affleck has an Oscar and Angela Bassett does not. Only one podcast is brave enough to call bullshit. Who Shot Ya? With Ricky Carmona.
A lot of people don't know Porgs, Puerto Rican.
Alonzo Duralde.
I would eat Oakjaw.
April Wolf.
I want to interrupt and say that the fish man was real sexy.
Drea Clark.
I have a real soft spot for King Kong.
And women of color.
I was like, damn!
Right, Kugler got final cut.
Kugler got final cut!
I just felt like the film was so sour and so completely irrelevant to basically anything in life.
Who Shot Ya? Listen every Friday on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
This country sucks.
Black people. Here's the thing. I don't think this country sucks.
Okay. All right. Good.
I think it's got its issues.
Yeah.
I think the world's got its issues.
True.
And sadly, there's still no other. This is the best place to be black.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot.
What about like England?
Okay, maybe. But I don't know.
I've never lived anywhere else,
but
so I don't know.
Been there. It's a different conversation, and it's a different. I don't know. I think that we are able to. It's different.
Yeah.
And there's different things. I think being black and in England. I don't know. We have black British listeners. Let us know. I just know from my peripheral, like, you know, being there from time to time.
And I'm just an American Yahoo.
But I think that like we have more people who are champions for black rights.
Okay. Yeah.
Here.
Okay.
But at the same time, like maybe that's because we need that more here. So it's all still there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would prefer to. There's more of us here in this country than over in England.
There you
so
go.
For me, I would prefer to be here.
Yeah, like what we were just talking about in the last segment.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, I know black British people. They're having, you know, living their best lives.
Idris Elba seems like things.
But then that's the other thing too is that we talked about this too on the show that there's not a lot of work for black British
actors. Yes, that's right.
They have to come over here and
Everybody
taking my jobs. They're taking our jobs, black British actors. So not about that at all.
Mm.
I just Googled blacks in the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I came across this. So I was like, 4th of July is happening.
Yes.
It will have had happened.
Yeah, it's tomorrow, but by the time you listen.
It's a thing of the past.
Ooh.
And you're gearing up for 2019 4th of July because you love it.
Yeah.
You're like, better put these can I keep these decorations up for a few more days? Okay, Ma.
Who are these weirdos listening to our podcast?
Jesse and Jesse.
The Jessies.
Jacksons. Jesse and Jesse Jackson.
Okay.
They love 4th of July.
I mean, they like public office.
Yeah. Well, it's his, it's not him, but it's his neighbor.
All right.
Who is oddly also named Jesse.
There's a huge population of Jesse Jacksons in that area.
In Jacksonville.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
It's a lot. So, Ethan J. Keitel Bland Roberts.
What is this link? You know I'm a librarian,
it's
right?
It's from the Atlantic.
Okay, good. All right.
I
was going to say my credibility is on the line here.
No, when I copied and pasted their name into my document, it scritched their names together.
Oh.
So Ethan J. Keitel and Blaine Roberts wrote this article for The Atlantic.
I love a dual written article.
When the 4th of July was a black holiday.
Ooh, we started it?
Well, we've had our turn with it.
Okay.
So Frederick Douglass, we going back in time.
He must have been amazing. Can you imagine?
You know, and actually I'm going to read this quote and you're going to be like, for me, I'm like, damn, I do not know enough about this man. Mm. I need to like watch, there needs to be a million movies about him.
Yeah.
So in 1852, on July 5th, day after America's birthday. Not 1982, which I accidentally typed. So this is 1852. I was like, 1982? What? Frederick Douglass did what when?
I mean, that was a great year.
Because you were born.
Mm-hmm.
A star was born. So he
at the very end. I'm basically born in 83.
Pretty much. He says, what to the American slave is your 4th of July? A day that reveals to him more than all other days in the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. Mm-hmm. He said, I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary.
Yes.
This 4th of July is yours, not mine. Frederick Douglass, mic drop, boom. A crowd
drop
of mostly
mics.
White people.
Wow, since before slavery ended.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after the end of the Civil War in 1865, mm-hmm. The nation's 4 million newly emancipated citizens, they started celebrating their black freedom. They were like,
good.
We want to get involved in this too.
Yeah, hello.
So there was a time when it kind of, especially in the South, 4th of July became an exclusively African-American holiday.
Oh.
Because the Southerners were like, fuck this
Oh,
day.
Yeah, that's right, assholes.
Bitter-ass
losers.
They literally would just shut in that day.
Can you
right?
imagine being, that must have been, I would have been the loudest celebrator.
Woo, outside
fuck
their
you.
Window. Hey, Sally. Hey, Becky.
You don't know me anymore.
Yeah. Look at this freedom. Okay, high kicking. Oh, wait till I tell you the celebrations that they used to do.
But
prior to this, like, it was like a very, like, white Americans were getting down on this day. It was like, mm-hmm. there'd be parades. Like,
yeah.
one European was like, this is the holiest of holidays for the Americans. Like,
Jesus
people
Christ.
Were getting wasted. It was like
wow.
insane. And black cloaks back before the Civil War, we would kind of side eye this day, kind of like Frederick Douglass. Be like,
yeah, we're just like, why am I celebrating a country that owns me?
Yeah, and in fact, black people would actually celebrate on July 5th.
Ooh.
Just to show that there was two different sort of Americas happening.
I like that.
And to avoid the white thugs. The article named them revelers, but I'm just doing a reverse.
I like that because a reveler sounds fun.
Yeah, it was like to avoid revelers. I'm like, no.
No,
because they didn't want to get beat up by these white thugs.
Yeah, I like that way better because a reveler brings me joy.
And they just, I accidentally slapped you, black lady.
I don't like that. I mean, you know it was way more violent than that.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Just,
I'm watering down my own story.
Exactly. I will.
Get out of here, Michael Bay. So on July 4th, 1865, so after the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
Southerners were like, fuck this holiday.
Oh,
they would not participate. They would like shut it down. But black folks were living it up. We were like, this is us. We're in it.
Yes.
So from like DC to Mobile, Alabama, they would gather to watch fireworks.
Nice.
They listened to orders recite the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yes.
And the Declaration of Independence and the 13th Amendments. So they would gather around and be like, let's listen to this.
Can you imagine? That's great.
On a hill, just like, because I mean, this is like their freedom. It's a huge thing.
You know what we should do?
Recite the 13th Amendment.
We should do all of this, and then we should have a national recreation of Obama's inauguration.
Actually, you're right. And we all gather around on the hill and just listen. Yeah. So thousands of black Southern Carolinians would line up to watch. There'd be the African-American militia companies. They'd be marching.
Protect us.
Well, they were just marching to be
But still.
But good to have them around.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. It never hurts
to have a little black militia
around
the corner.
Especially right then. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just got free.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, they knew. They were like,
we just got free.
This could go down in any other way in any moment.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people were ex. Slaves, like this is a what a time, right? I am now free.
I can't even imagine.
And so the 1876 4th of July parade in South Carolina included, there'd be like the Lincoln Rifle Guard and the Attucks Light Infantry. They're named after all these different things.
Yeah.
Oh, this one is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
There was the freed women.
Oh.
Let me see. The freed women, they would participate in the parade as well.
Okay.
And they were actually pushing back against gender and class barriers that
Ooh.
Relegated them to the sidelines during Reconstruction time.
Yes.
So what I love is that like the 4th of July parade was also political.
Yes.
Right? It kind of reminds me of like the early days of, we talked about this last
week.
Yeah,
with the pride parade.
Exactly. Oh, and there was the Daughters of Zion and the Sisters of Zion. So they were like different groups and organizations.
Like, is that a reggae band? What's going on?
Right, yeah.
No,
we love Zion. Like, we are just, hello Zion.
Lauryn Hill wrote a song named her kid after Zion.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were domestic workers and washerwomen, and mm-hmm. they would march in the parade as well. And in 1875, the parade featured a carriage carrying a queen for the day.
Okay.
Which this was like a kind of like a political move because it was, you know, women were denied that title, or even white women did not look at black women as like queens at all.
Oh, hell no, they didn't.
So they were like, we're queens too.
Yes. Yes, bitch.
And here is my favorite part of what these festivities, when 4th of July was black
yes.
in the South.
Blackity black.
They used to do a dance called the Tulalu.
Man, old timey words. Just, what is this?
Tulalu. So the freedmen and women in Charleston's White Point Garden, which this is fascinating, this takes place in Charleston as well.
Yeah.
So in Charleston, at the White Point Garden, there'd be this huge festival, and it's all black because white people were like, we're not celebrating this.
Bitter.
And so two dozen evenly split men and women would form two rings and do this song and dance.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Go hunt your lover, Tulalu. Go find your lover, Tulalu.
That's kind of creepy, though.
Go hunt your lover, Tulalu. Go find your lover, Tulalu. And they would urge the lady in the center, who eventually would choose a suitor to join her, and they would like, dance.
Oh, that's cute.
And this dance is also political. This is like Beyonce formation, Janelle Monáe, like
okay,
political.
Tell me about it.
Because it was sort of, it was also poking fun at white folks, their elite courtship rituals.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I love this. This is like a big old fuck you.
Yeah, right?
This is so good.
And then 1876, it blew up. 50 groups were dancing the Tulalu from morning to midnight.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Tulalu.
Can you imagine 11?
Go find your lover.
Find him!
Where is he? But they have like different groups coming in
okay,
and out.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
And in fact, they started referring to the 4th of July as just Tulalu.
Okay, I like that.
Just take it over.
Tulalu.
Just, oh, we're going to Tulalu today.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't wait for Tulalu. I'm going to find my lover. Tulalu. And of course, white Southerners hated this. Oh, they were furious about this.
Why couldn't they just join in?
They could Tulalu as well.
They could totally Tulalu.
Tulalu is for everybody.
But, like, this is, like, so dumb. Once again, white people being uncomfortable. Just get a little, I mean, fucking break your mold. Mm-hmm. Have some fun. Hang out with black people. And don't be racist.
It's that easy. A step-by-step guide.
Idiots.
There it is. They called it a dreadful day and used the N-word to describe everything about it. Everything about it. I'm not even going to read the list about it.
Predictable.
Well, get a new word, okay?
We've I heard know, it. We've
Over
heard it.
It. So 1862. Done. And then in 1865, the festivities in Mobile, federal troops from Illinois and Indiana were overheard wishing that new freed slaves were just dead. Well, that did happen.
Yeah.
In July 4th, 1875, white mob broke up a Republican rally in Vicksburg, Mississippi, killing a black deputy sheriff.
Can you even imagine being so hateful that you have nothing better to do than just kill some black people? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, and also too, and this is like the white Democrats, because everything was switched back then. So the Republicans were like, you know,
liberal party, sort of.
Yeah, they were throwing all like the festivities, mm-hmm. and white Southern Democrats hated this. And this actually, they also had a hamburger. They wanted to seize, Southern Democrats wanted to seize power.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually around a lot of this festivities that there was kind of on their platform. There was the Hamburg Massacre that the next year in the village of Hamburg, South Carolina, anger over a black militia parade on the 4th boiled over into just a huge riot and left 7 African-Americans dead at the hands of white vigilantes. Yeah. And this helped Southern Dems get back control of South Carolina because they had lost all their power. And so it was like things like this that was how it allowed them to rally their base back into it.
This is disgusting.
Yeah.
This is why I have a hard time watching Southern Charm on Bravo, because I feel like they're all related to these people.
And they're like negating this sort of.
And then sometimes they hang out on one of the rich people's plantations.
And you're just like, are we going to have a conversation about this?
Yeah.
Speaking of segregation laws, OJ said plantation, but it rhymes with segregation.
They go together like hand in...
Hands.
Yeah.
Hands holding hands.
Yeah.
They're just kissing cousins. Segregation laws quelled, they started stopping black celebrations on the 4th of July, essentially. So in 1881, Charleston city leaders pushed Tulalu to the parks. Like, you can't Tulalu in the main city center. You had to be out further away from downtown until finally... In 1886, they removed it from the peninsula altogether. Like, you couldn't Tulalu.
Like, what good does that do?
Stops black people from having fun. In 1900s, both Charleston and Atlanta had made it so vendors, it was illegal for them to set up food from food stalls along the streets where black residents were hanging out during the 4th. So there would be no food. And essentially just, it was efforts to delegitimize, you know, this as a black holiday, any claims to it. You know, They would then have, like, there was, through their media, they would, you know, interview black people, and they'd be like, well, this guy doesn't even really know why he's even out here celebrating. And
jeez,
so,
this sounds familiar.
Well, and it was interesting because, like, they hate it when we celebrate it, mm-hmm. and then they don't want us to celebrate it. Or then they're mad when we don't celebrate it.
Yeah, it's like I'm just so tired of it.
Well, then in 1902, white Atlantans came. All the white Atlantans came back together, because remember you had like the divide between the Union and the Confederates, right? And they pretty much all came back together. So there was a children's chorus that sang, you know, Dixie and the Star Spangled Banner and America, mm-hmm. and the parade featured both Confederate and Union veterans marching through the parade.
Wow!
So they all came together. Here's the thing that boils me, though.
Yeah.
Confederates are traitors.
Yeah, it's treason.
Treason. So
why are we celebrating them?
Sorry.
I know.
So that's my thing. And so then that essentially white people hated black people that much. So they're like, well, we'll forgive you and we'll come back together. And white people didn't even bat an eyelash that there were, you know, Confederates marching through the army.
Of course not, because they're white people and they probably had some cousins that were the same way. Just like now, where people are like, oh, my cousin voted for fucking Trump and I still forgive him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you better stay on him. You better keep having them conversations with your cousin.
You know what? A piece of me feels like, and this is real separatist, this is me getting my fucking Malcolm X on.
Oh,
early Malcolm X,
you
not
want
later.
A separate nation.
I don't want a separate nation, but a piece of me. No.
Okay.
No. Okay. I want all of those people that literally only want white people around
go form
them.
Their own nation.
Just go be white town in your own white area. Leave me alone. Leave all the rest of us. Leave all the white people that want to live with diversity with us. And we will see who will.
So we'll give them like Mississippi and Alabama and they can form Confederates.
I almost even want to create one of those fake islands that Dubai did, because they don't deserve the land here. They can have their own weird fake island and then see what happens. And I've $5.
Dollars to donuts. And I love donuts.
Donuts are, I know. I saw you eat 5.
Hey.
But it was delicious.
You were there for that. Oh my God, you were there for that. Ooh, I did eat 5 donuts.
Was it 5 or was it 4?
It was 4. Pride's over. I can eat again.
And we were fine. I was fine with you eating those donuts.
In fact, after this, we're going to get some donuts.
Okay, but moving on, I just feel like it will be shown that hateful, nasty ass separatist people living on their own could not survive.
Yeah. I would just be too scared that like what they would start doing is that they would try to then take what we got. Cause that's what they their own devices.
I know.
They're gonna, you know, start, you know, manifesting their own destiny and take, murder, murder, murder.
I know. I would almost be like,
That's why I want to keep an eye on them. That's
Island
why
right over there.
But that's why I think we can't leave them to their own devices.
Sign a treaty.
But then they're left to their own hate. And we are miracle workers in okay. And
I know.
It seems like we can't discount the ripple effects that we are creating.
It's true. It's better now than it is during the Tulalu.
Right. During the Tulalu time. And it seems like it's falling on deaf ears. But like even that cousin who did vote for Trump, that like I believe that his little Grinchy heart will one day beat again 5 times stronger. Like we're going to Tulalu around him. Yahoo, Yahoo, whatever that.
I mean, that's real nice of you to think that.
But that is what's
and
been.
It's true.
And it's what's been happening.
And like, I mean, you do have a point about the whole keep your eye on.
Oh, I'm not leaving them to an island on their own. Oh no.
You know what it is? It's mostly me just wanting to be like, ew, go
I get
away.
That. Yeah. I know. But you know what? They're our lives, our mission. And we gotta, just like they were Tulalu-ing, we gotta Tulalu for today. So this brings me to my other point too, that it makes me really understand and realize the importance of Juneteenth, which we've talked about before.
Turned around on it.
And I really do believe that Juneteenth does need to become a national holiday.
I agree.
Needs to be celebrated. I felt bad because it's June 19th. June 19th, I think. That's when we celebrate. Or June 18th. See? I don't even know. And like, it's in the teens. It's in the Juneteenth. But it needs to be a national holiday. Like, it came and it went, and I didn't do any, like, post or anything about it. And it's such an important, you know, there needs to be parades, like parades that are acknowledging, you know, they were having like, you know, Confederates marching. No, we need to have like the survivors of like slave plantations marching.
Way more important than Confederate soldiers.
I think like for us, if Juneteenth became a national holiday, is a time every year that we reflect on this atrocity that took place in this nation for centuries. It's a day of reflection. I think they're making a Juneteenth musical that's happening.
Yes, Kenya Barris and...
Because he did a Juneteenth episode on Blackish.
Yeah, so that's why I trust him. Yeah, it was good. And then a singer.
It's a singer. It's like a famous-y guy. Or hip-hop. It's another famous-y hip-hop-y person.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But like, I get, like, it's this whole entire thing has made me realize like the importance of a Black Freedom Day.
Yes.
That needs to happen in this country for everyone to acknowledge and recognize and celebrate, and there needs to be that celebration reflection.
I completely agree. And I feel like one of our earliest podcasts, which I'm ashamed to say, I was very down on Juneteenth.
It was because it's that there was the day that they were supposed to be free and then they weren't freed on that day.
For years. Yeah. And that's why I was upset, because it was basically, to me, it felt like Black people were deceived.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me looking at it with a negative light.
Right.
In the positive light, it's the actual day where all Black people were given the chance to be free in America, which is something very important that we all need to celebrate. Because fuck this country owned people.
Mm-hmm.
And our people.
Yeah.
And our people finally got to be fucking free and be given a right that people just took for granted.
They were able to toolaloo as much as they wanted.
Damn straight, toolaloo. Mm-hmm. And all their wools and everything that everybody was wearing back then, which was terrible.
No, that was hot. Well, you can take it. Now we don't have to wear all those clothes, those oppressive clothes, and we can toolaloo with as little clothing as possible. So, happy birthday, Black America.
Happy birthday, Black people. Yeah,
happy birthday, Black people. Freedom forever. I don't know what we say, but
we'll make something up.
Here we are. Yeah. Toolaloo for life.
Toolaloo for life. Oh, so I made James, we took a little pause and we watched this video. So if you kind of want to get a weird representation, not weird, but a fun representation of what the Toolaloo might be like, Laura Mulva, her video Green Garden, you should look at it. It's just fun for summertime too.
It's perfect. And it'll give you like a sense of like what the Toolaloo was maybe like.
Yeah.
A little taste test.
Like a current Toolaloo with some twinges from the past.
And then you can be like, you can see like, oh, I can see how they could do this from morning to midnight.
Yeah.
They're having fun. They go to the forest. They go all over the place. You better toolaloo. Speaking of toolalooing, we got a review.
Ooh, thank you. Toolaloo us.
Toolaloo us. Toolaloo. This is a really great review. So you can write reviews for us on Apple Podcasts, I think is what it's called now.
It's not iTunes anymore?
No, it's called Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, write a review for us so people can find us. But you don't have to, but thank you for doing it. That's so awesome.
It does help when you do it. And this one comes from Poison Lovely.
Ooh.
And the lovely has a 3 in it instead of the E. So
ooh, I
super
love that.
Creative.
Yeah, flip it around.
Gave us 5 stars.
Wow.
They said, okay, let me tell you.
Right.
I started this in the beginning of November.
Wow.
It's near the end of June now.
It's true.
126 episodes that iTunes was still carrying, or Apple Podcasts, which at this point is probably 230 plus hours of absolute snark, sass,
wow,
and on-air class.
Aw, that's nice.
I think
nice.
That's been a new tagline.
Yes.
And then a podcast that simplifies life with extra commentary to lighten up the mood for those who still have a hard time looking at the news without being nauseous.
Yeah, that's true.
At first, I thought I would only listen to recent episodes, but every episode is its own gem and can still be applied today, no matter how we think 2015 is a different beast than 2018.
Who is this person? This is awesome.
Hearing you guys is truly like listening to friends debate and scream into the abyss how things are turning out for everyone and yourselves.
That's us.
Can't wait for you guys' next episode.
Oh, you're featured in it. Thank you.
Wonderful review. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, that's so nice.
Beautiful review. Y'all have been so great and kind. We have such a wonderful, wonderful community base.
Oh my God.
Those who are members to those who are also not members.
Yes.
Really great.
Thank you for listening, for sticking with us, for hanging out with us, for knowing our podcast, for sharing our podcast, for, you know, just popping us on your phone or car
or
wherever.
It's almost like every week is just our little toolaloo together across the globe. It's what we do. We get together, we toolaloo.
You just made it sound magic.
Because it is a magical experience. Aneka, it's been so great being here in your physical presence.
I know. I see you. I hear
you. It's been a lot of eye contact, too.
I know. It's been intense eye contact. Do we even... I guess we don't stare at each other when we're in the
computer. I'm like looking at the window. window.
Or I'm like looking at myself.
Yeah, because we're in the little
box.
Little boxes, the Google chat boxes.
I know, but you're literally here, so I can't look at myself. I don't know what I look like talking to you now.
Yeah, I bet your entire time you're just like, what do I look like right now?
What am I doing?
Next time I'll just hold up a mirror in front of my face.
Okay, good. We'll each hold mirrors.
That way we can just look at the mirrors.
Then we'll feel that more natural.
Yeah, like, this feels comfortable. This feels right. We can keep looking at each other. Well, we're vain. We can say it.
It's true. Tweet at us.
Don't have faces for radio.
No, we got faces for life.
Exactly.
Tweet at us. We are at Minority Corner with a K.
Faces for life.
We're
on the Facebooks.
We're on the Facebooks. We have a corner.
Corner Kids Playground.
Join it.
Get in there.
People love it.
Yeah. And thank you to Brownout for supplying the music.
Love it.
And
thanks to Woody
for editing. And also just the random thank you to Maximum Fun. We love being part of your Maximum Fun family.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. We love you. What? Do I feel like you're like, I'm crazy? It's true. We do.
Yes, it's true. I'm waiting for the tag. And you keep adding new things.
When's it going to come?
I know exactly.
You know what else happened in Jurassic World?
No.
Just kidding. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together, we're the majority.
Nailed it that time.
We need to just use that all the time.
All the time.
Because it's usually a little weird.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.